The Lord also has a wish. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Today's passage comes from Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Everyone lives with a wish. A wish is a dream of tomorrow, an ideal and a goal that we desire to achieve. As a wish is in the heart with a dream, life is in it. What is the difference between a fertile chicken egg and an unfertilized egg? These all seem to be the same, but if a mother hen has eggs for 21 days, chicks will come out from fertile chicken eggs and unfertilized eggs will be rotten. It is because in a fertile chicken egg, life is in it. A wish is a dream and it is about living with life in us. So when we pray, we need to have a wish in our hearts and pray. In Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." In Psalms, chapter 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." When you try to do the will of God, he gives us a wish in our hearts and willingness to do it. Therefore, we need to have wishes in our hearts and pray to God. Everyone has wishes, whether it is about their children, business, career path, peace of mind and health, and even spiritual ones and so on. Everyone lives with lots of wishes. God wants us to pray with such desire and willingness. There are things that Almighty God can do, whereas people cannot. He can make our wishes to come true, whatever they are. Hannah wanted to have a child. When she prayed, God gave her Samuel. Hezekiah had a deadly disease and he clung on to God. When he did that, his life was extended by 15 years. When Jabez had such a miserable life and when he prayed for blessings, God allowed him to have what he asked for. I hope you will ask God desires of your hearts. You are children of God. If parents do not pay attention to their children's desires of hearts, who would they do that? I hope you will confidently ask Father about desires of your hearts. In Matthew, chapter 7, verses 9 to 11, it says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" The Lord is the one that allows desires of your hearts to come true. But a fact that I realized through the passage of today is that you only have desires in your hearts, but also, the Lord has special plans for your all. It is because the Lord works through people. To spread the gospel of heaven, he sought after the people. At that time, he did not call politicians who were good at public speaking, did not call people that were good at writing, he called people like Fisher Peter and treated him as his best student. In the Old Testament, he called someone like Gideon who was a farmer at the time, and called Amos who was a growing mulberry tree. He called these people as people of God. Someone who is solid and genuine, he called these people, if it was the will of God that obeyed God. In fact, through you, God wants to see his wishes come true. So the Lord said, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled." He sought after the workers, saying, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." The wish of the Lord for us is only salvation of the souls. He came to this land to save souls, to wipe away the tears of the sick, poor and the weeping, and to heal the sick. The purpose is on saving the souls through solving problems. He carried the cross to save souls, and the first sermon he preached after he resurrected was to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. He gave the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses, and the last command he gave before he resurrected was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." What is the command that the Lord gave us? It refers to the desires of the Lord for his disciples. Not only you have wishes. The Lord also have wishes. Through you, the Lord wants to see his last wishes come true. I bless you all in the name of Jesus that you will be the last runner that would help his wishes to come true. First of all, the disciples were given the work from the Lord. Let us have a look at verse 16. At last, the Lord gave his work to his disciples which he used to do on this land. He appointed 12 disciples, but only 11 disciples showed up in front of the Lord in Galilee. One disciple was missing. Who was that missing disciple? Let us look at Acts, chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. It says, "He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, there he fell headlong, his body burst open and all his intestines spilled out." Judas Iscariot was missing. Judas was a core disciple. He was someone that followed Jesus for 3 years, but he was not there even though he was supposed to be there. He was not there where he was supposed to be used by the Lord. He was not there where he was about to be blessed and give glory to the Lord as a disciple. In Mark, chapter 14, verses 10 to 11, it tells us about a story of Judas's fall due to his greed for money. He fell down due to his greed for money. As a result of it, he did not get to fulfill his calling, sold Jesus for 30 silver coins and turned out to become the most unfortunate figure in history. He lost his eyesight due to his greed for money. That makes us to lose our conscience, characters, forget about our calling and faith. At the end, he abandoned Jesus even. At the end, Judas was tricked by Satan. Overall, Judas was an unfortunate person that wasted his whole life. As Acts, chapter 1, verse 18 shows, Judas' end days were unfortunate. It talks about Judas's end days very specifically. Judas lost his position of a disciple. In the beginning, he started off with grace, but ended up with such misery. He started off with the blessing of being a disciple, but ended up miserably. As I saw that, I realized that the beginning of a person is important, but the end result is more important. In the Bible, it also has been mentioned that there are people that start off with the Holy Spirit, but finish off with fleshly desires. In Mark, chapter 14, verse 21, towards the end of this verse, it says, "But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Wouldn't there be other people, not just Judas? How often do we get distant from God, due to our greed for money, losing our conscience, forgetting about our calling and faith? There is a saying that, out of all the poisons, poison of money is the scariest. I will share a story with you briefly. In the past, there was a criminal that killed his own mother and older brother. He even trashed the dead bodies in a very brutal, inhumane way. The person that did that was the younger son. He lost all his money in casino and to take away all the inheritance that his mother had, he killed his own older brother and mother. In the end, he could not get any money, his wife left him and the only thing that was left for him was the fact that he was a murderer of his own family and he had to serve his sentence for the rest of his life. The end days of his life was such a misery. I heard that 57.4% of the most serious crimes is about the murder of close family members. It is a really serious matter. The world where we live in these days, is a really dangerous world to have a lot of belongings as parents. In fact, the wealth people accumulate without shedding the blood and sweat, can be a cause of debauchery as people do not know the value of this. It is a good thing to give a lot of inheritance onto our children. But, pray to be able to give an inheritance of faith onto your children, which would not get rusty and which would not wither away. I hope that you will be able to keep your faith and calling till the very end. People's appearances on the back needs to be more beautiful than the appearance in the front. It is important to live long, but how you lived your life is even more important. Like fruit, our faith needs to be riper as time goes by. Then, what is the calling of the disciple? Let us read verses 19 to 20 together. Whatever it is, things on this land carry out principle of creation and calling. Land has its geography, material things carry law of nature, our bodies have physiology, and our hearts have psychology. As God is the Spirit, there is a spiritual law. When we get distant from the basic principle, the order gets destroyed and we lose balance. In all things, there is a calling. Trees bear fruit, dogs bark, teachers teach and the flowers bloom. There is none which exists without its mission and calling on this land. Then, how wouldn't a child of God have calling? When Livingstone walked across the land of Africa and was bit by a wild animal, his life was in a critical condition. His students cried out and asked him, "What do we do if you die here?" He told them, "I am not going to be dead, I still have calling and mission to carry out here still." That is right. God does not let us live because he thinks pitiful towards us, but we need to believe that he is letting us live because we still have reasons to be here and complete the work that he assigned to us. When Paul faced northeaster hurricane force, towards the people who were in misery, he told them not to be fearful. "God that I serve, that I belong to, will not let me die until I get to reach Rome. He will not let me die and he will take care of me." He made that confession. Because Paul had the mission to complete, in Rome, he had a strong conviction that God will not let him die in hurricane. We need to know this. We do not do the work of God because we are healthy. God gave us health to do the work for the Lord. We do not do the work of the Lord because we are able to do this. God gave us ability to do the work for the Lord. We do not do the work of the Lord because we have a lot of time. God gave us time to do the work of the Lord for the Lord. We do not commit ourselves in serving the Lord because we have a lot of things. God gave us material blessings so that we can commit to the work of the Lord. Give thanks for these blessings. If you do not have health, if your time schedule does not allow, if you do not have material blessings, even we want to, we cannot do the work of the Lord. For the calling that God gave us, he gave all these blessings unto us. Be thankful for this fact. Let us read verse 19. "Go, baptize them in the name of Jesus and make disciples." Go, this is a promise that the Lord will take care of everything. Have a look at the scene where 70 people went out to preach the gospel. When they shared the gospel of Jesus, evil spirits went away. The Lord already gave them power to control snakes and scorpions. That is right. The amazing fact is that he allowed the right people to appear, to share the gospel with when they were there to preach about Jesus. In Acts, chapter 10, verse 33, God allowed a foreigner Cornelius and Peter to meet together through vision. In Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 27, it talks about a story of Philip meeting an Ethiopian eunuch. Philip helped this person that could not understand the gospel and felt hungry for the gospel. Philip shared the gospel with her and this person accepted Jesus and got baptized. In Acts, chapter 16, verse 14, Paul was able to meet Lydia and her heart was open. She later set up a Philippian church. Is this a mere coincidence? No, the Lord allowed them to meet together and this was able to happen. This is the work of the Lord. Therefore, you go and look for a lost sheep. This is a promise that the Lord will take care of everything. The Lord wants every tribe to be saved. Every tribe means all the people. Evangelism is where you share the gospel in your own country, and sharing the gospel in another country is called mission. The things that the Lord desires the most are evangelism and mission. The church exists for evangelism and mission purposes. It is about saving the souls. He wants everything born in this land to be believers of Jesus and children of God. The last command the Lord gave out was go and baptize them and make disciples. This was the last wish of the Lord. True Christians need to be attentive to the wish of the Lord. Verse 20 says, "Teach and obey everything I have commanded you." He told us to teach and train people. Disciples do not get born but gets made through education and training. Teaching is about educating. If we do not teach properly, then people would not get mature. So, three big ministries of Jesus were teaching, healing and evangelizing. There are times that we try to do it well but we do not get to do it well because we do not know about it well. Therefore, church needs to teach continuously. Also, helping people to keep it well. This happens through training and through training, our way of doing things gets changed. Training is about repetition. Repetition enables us to have good habits and good habits allow us to have good characters and good characters help us to have good habits. The word that talks about help people to keep it does not happen at once but through continuous repetition and training. A young child does not get to become an adult within a day. Just because you received grace, you do not become mature straight away. It talks about teaching and training continuously so that you are able to make disciples. These people will become mature and will be able to make disciples. Reproduction will take place. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is what verse 20 talks about. He promises two things if you do these. Firstly, he promises that he will take care of them till the end of the age. Who would take care of us? Parents cannot take care of us. Only the Almighty God can take care of us. God is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Beginning of life and the end of life, God takes care of these. In the 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 6-7, it talks about God that has keys for our life and death. He promises that he will be with us at all times. Is there any other word than together that sounds so happy? We would not be fearful of anything whether we face any kind of disease or if there is a hurricane. We would not become fearful. It is because the Lord is with us. He promises that he will be with us at all times. Wherever we are and whatever we do, till the end of the age, he becomes Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. And I pray and bless you all in the name of Jesus that he will be with you at all times. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are not the only ones that have wishes. The Lord has wishes for us. It is because the Lord works through people. So he calls his workers. The desire of the Lord is that everyone here on this land will believe in Jesus and be saved. He told us to go boldly and share the gospel with people. He will put the prepared souls into our lives. The last wish of the Lord was soul salvation. If you knocked on 100 doors and one door will open, then you must knock on it. That family might be the one that God has prepared for you. The word of mouth you share with them, the flyer you give to them could be the channel of blessing and that could help them to be saved. Through you, the Lord wants to see his wishes come true. I bless you all in the name of Jesus that you will be able to focus on soul salvation in this rest of this year. I pray all these in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.